This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Halfway through the Saturday edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you in studio. A reminder, we're going to open up the phone lines at 11 a.m. We're going to take your calls starting at 11 a.m. Anything to do with the Winnipeg Jets, Connor Hellebuck's next contract, Jack Roslovic, does he deserve to stay with the team? You know, are we going to talk about some potential trade acquisitions for the Winnipeg Jets? Open phones at 11 o'clock this morning, coming up in about 30 minutes' time here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
We head out to Finland, where we're pleased to be joined by Pekka Jalonen, who covers the world of hockey for Ilta Helti newspaper in Finland. Pekka, good morning, and thanks very much for joining us.
Good evening. How are you guys?
We're doing very well, Pekka. How are you?
I'm fine. Just was listening to your show.
Well, we appreciate you tuning us in all the way in Finland. Pekka, we wanted to have you on to talk about Christian Vesalainen, who, of course, was the Jets' first-round pick in the 2017 NHL draft. He's having a great year for HPK in the Finnish Elite League with 31 points in 33 games played. You know, you've watched Christian Vesalainen this season. How would you describe his game so far this year?
First of all, he had a slow start. He had something like 3 assists in the first 9 games, but then next 8 games he had 8 points. And after the World Juniors, he has been on fire. You know, he's a big guy, but he was, after the World Juniors, he has been also mentally a big guy because he had 13 points in 8 games after the World Juniors. So he's on fire at the moment.
You know, Pekka, you know, you mentioned, you know, Christian, the season that he's having in the SM Liga, which is not easy for an 18-year-old to put up point per game totals. In your opinion, is he very close to making that jump to the National Hockey League and playing with his fellow countryman, Patrick Laine?
You have to remember that he is only 18. He will be 19 in 1st of June. I think he is ready to come over there to play with Patrick. I think it can take 1 year, but you never know. Some players, they develop faster than the others, but for sure Christian can come over there for the next season.
You know, Pekka, we of course can't have you on and not talk about Patrick Laine. We know how big he is here in Winnipeg, and you know, sometimes we lose sight of the fact that he is probably one of the biggest sports stars in the entire country of Finland. How important would it be, because there's a rumor right now, and they're supposed to make the announcement soon, that the Winnipeg Jets will be playing 2 regular season games, potentially against the Carolina Hurricanes next season. So just how big will that be, in addition to having Joel Armia and the other Finnish players, but having Patrick Laine playing regular season hockey in Finland?
It will be huge. There has been some rumors. I think it was first time something like two weeks ago we heard first time that probably the Jets will come over here. And it was a big news in Finland. And, of course, everybody is really, really happy here if we get those 2 teams here. There are great Finnish players. And as Patrick is number 1 hockey star in Finland at the moment, so that will be huge.
Pekka Jalonen is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Pekka covers the world of hockey in Finland for Ilta Helti newspaper. You know, Pekka, you mentioned Christian Vesalainen, and he's, you know, started off slowly in the Finnish Elite League, and he's picked it up as of late. You know, he's, you know, still only 18 years old, like you said, and he's playing against men in the Finnish Elite League. Is he getting, you know, is he getting noticed on a more broad level as maybe one of those, as a late bloomer, but a future star in Finland? You know, we know all about Patrick Laine. We know about Sebastian Aho of the Carolina Hurricanes. Is Vesalainen beginning to get some publicity as a next great Finnish NHLer?
Yeah. He spent a couple of years in Sweden, and that's why people in Finland don't know him very well, because he was playing in Sweden. And now he's playing in Hämeenlinna, which is a small city, 100 kilometers away from Helsinki. So there is something like 60,000 people in that city, and media don't cover that area so much. So after the World Juniors, because he has played so well, people in Finland, they've paid some notice to this guy and say, hey, he's a Winnipeg Jets draft from the first round, and he's making some noise at the moment. So probably this will be something special too.
Pekka, switching over to the 2018 Winter Olympics, which are rapidly approaching in Pyeongchang, South Korea, Team Finland announced that Miro Heiskanen, who of course is a Dallas Stars draft pick defenseman, and Elli Tolvanen, who went late in the first round to the Nashville Predators, they are going to represent Finland at the upcoming Olympics. Have the expectations been raised a little bit with those two young prospects playing at the Olympics? Because Canada, for example, decided to go with more of a veteran lineup.
Finland has a good mix of these young guys and veteran players, but of course these two young guys, it makes people excited here because they have both played very well. They were not excellent at the World Juniors, but Tolvanen has been just great in KHL. He broke the record from Yevgeny Kuznetsov for most points as an 18-year-old guy in KHL. And Heiskanen has been doing well in Finnish league. He's absolutely great. He had some shoulder injury during the World Juniors, so he wasn't playing so well there. But after that, he has now played two games here in Finnish league. He scored yesterday two goals and assisted on one goal today. So it will be great to see those young guys in South Korea.
You know, Pekka, we were talking about how the impact of the Olympics without NHL players is, you know, there's still an interest in the game, maybe not to the same level. What's it like in Finland right now? Are people talking about the Olympic hockey team, and is there a lot of interest in the Olympic hockey in a couple of weeks or in a month, sorry?
Yeah, for sure, because Olympics, it's always a big thing in Finland. It doesn't matter who plays there. If we have Patrick Laine and guys like that, it will be huge. But it doesn't matter so much because Finland has done so well in the Olympic ice hockey tournaments. At that time when the NHL players have been there, Finland has most medals from those tournaments. And from 8 last Olympic tournaments, Finland has most medals. Of course, no gold medal, but most medals. 6 medals from 8 tournaments. So it's a big thing in Finland, and people, they will follow those games very closely.
Pekka Jalonen is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Pekka covers the world of hockey for Ilta Healthy newspaper in Finland. You know, Pekka, as we approach the Olympic Games and you look at the roster that's going to be representing Finland, is there one player in particular that you think is going to be the key to the success of Team Finland in Pyeongchang? I mean, Kari Ramo is one of their goaltenders, and we know him from his NHL experience. He, you know, spent some time, I believe, with the Calgary Flames. Is there one player that you think is the key to Team Finland at the upcoming Olympics?
Finland has never the best players in these tournaments. It doesn't matter what tournament we are speaking about. So Finland has never the best players, but we can have a very good team. And Finland plays a team sport, hockey, so and it relies on a good goalie. And Mikko Koskinen, who plays for St. Petersburg in KHL, I think he is the best goalie in Europe. And he will be number one goalie for Team Finland in South Korea. And when you have a good goalie, you always have a chance to win. If you have a bad goalie, you probably don't win at all. So people in Finland, they think that Mikko Koskinen will be the key player for Team Finland. Of course, somebody has to score those goals too. But Koskinen will be really important for Team Finland.
Pekka Jalonen covers the world of hockey for Ilta Healthy newspaper. Pekka, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for joining us to give us an update on Christian Vesalainen, and we'll do it again soon as we keep tabs on the Jets' 2017 first-round draft pick.
Okay, thank you, guys, and have a nice time there.
Thank you. Thank you, Pekka.
Thanks a lot, Pekka.
Again soon. When we come back, we discuss the PHWA's midseason award voting. We'll talk about Frank Saravelli's comments about Blake Wheeler. And, of course, your calls coming up in about 18 minutes' time. Open phones for the final hour starting at 11 a.m. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
On TSN1290.ca.
If you're looking for something to do tonight, we highly recommend you head to Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. We've officially declared it the funniest place in Winnipeg. Kate Quigley is in town. Two shows left. She's been killing it since Thursday night at Rumors. Tremendous. She's a stand-up comedian, model, host, and actress. She's currently the host of Undercover.
Aren't you a model, Drew?
I am a model. In fact, I...
Well, you're a host. I don't know if I'd go so far as to call you a model.
I once did some modeling as a child. I was in some commercials for San stores.
Okay. By the way, there's a reason why San went bankrupt and is out of business.
Ouch.
What did you model, Drew?
Like, I was in commercials. Like, clothes, you know.
What kind of clothes?
I don't remember. I was a kid. I was
definitely like
I was
fanny packs.
I was strutting on the runway. I was probably in 1988, maybe 1989, something like that. I'm sure somebody's out there, Retro Winnipeg, who runs the YouTube account, maybe has the old commercials from Sand Stores.
Someone needs to find that commercial
right now, please.
And send it to us.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's... Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not is what I'm going to say in response to that.
It's probably been burned.
Anyways, Kate Quigley is at Rumors tonight. There's two shows left, 7:15 and 10 o'clock. She's a stand-up comedian, model, host, and actress. She's the host of Undercover on Playboy TV and is, quote, the Anthony Bourdain of the sex world. So if you're combining sex and comedy, that's two of my favorite things. Check her out, Rumors Comedy Club tonight, rumorscomedyclub.com. Two shows, tickets available right now. Go do it. Stop. Go do it right now.
So it looks like the Moose have returned some players to the ECHL. Michael Hutchinson, I suspect that means he'll start. Eric Comrie most likely backs him up. They returned Colton Finney, Garrett Mears, Elgin Pierce, and that's it.
Elgin Pierce had a goal last night.
Yeah, he had his first AHL goal. But they've got Brendan Lemieux. Just to talk about how tough hockey players are, Peter Stojkovic, Winnipeg product.
Yeah.
I thought he was done. Like, I was like, not done for the season,
like,
but I thought he'd be done for
over?
I thought he was done. I talked to Pascal Vincent on it about on Monday, I think, after the Moose skated here before they left on their road trip. And I was like, what's his status? And he told me week to week. And the guy looked like he was toast. He played yesterday.
So
like, it's just wild that these guys are able to overcome, you know, Cameron Schilling, same thing. I thought he would be done for a while. He was back after missing four games. So, you know, it's amazing what these guys play through. That they are able to get on the ice and play at the level that they do. It's really impressive.
What about Ben Chiarot coming back into the game on Thursday night? It looked like he
thank
might...
Thank God he wears a visor.
Yeah.
I mean, thank God. And the Jets have a couple guys who don't. I mean, Bufflin doesn't wear a visor.
Yeah, the older guys.
That's because
yeah.
Bufflin's the one who's always taking the shot. He doesn't have to worry about...
Generally speaking, you know, if he's going to get one up in the face region, it's
Matt
really...
Hendricks, yeah.
Matt Hendricks. I mean, I think the Jets, you know... Because, of course, you have to be graduated or grandfathered into the program to not wear a visor. Otherwise, they're mandatory now. But, I mean, Ben Chiarot, if he's not wearing a visor, yep. Man alive, is that a bad incident.
Well, he wasn't even looking at the play. He had no idea.
The puck was, I mean, it was so far off target, you wouldn't expect that it would be anywhere near you. And, anyways, you know, can be thankful for the visor in that instance. You know, Blake Wheeler, the PHWA, the Professional Hockey Writers Association, came out with their mid-season awards. This is something new that they haven't done in a lot of years. And Blake Wheeler ended up fifth overall in terms of heart voting. He appeared on 60 of 152 ballots. He received three first-place votes. You know, I didn't expect him to win, although I also didn't expect him to rank as low as fifth on the ballots. Frank Saravelli.
Well, that's pretty good, Drew.
I think he deserves to be higher than that. I think
well,
he deserves.
I do as well. I said that a couple of weeks ago that mm-hmm. that I think right now he's top three.
Yeah,
but I mean top five. That's
still pretty good.
It's better than a kick in the head.
It's better than a kick in the head. You're absolutely right. Although I will kick you in the head later to you know see how I feel about one or the other. Frank Saravelli, TSN senior hockey writer, you know, spoke during the Jets' second intermission on Thursday about Blake Wheeler and why Frank had Blake Wheeler ranked number one
He
was one of the top three. He was one of the three voters who gave Blake Wheeler a first place vote.
He's a good man,
on
Frank.
His ballot. Frank, of course, is a good friend of the Curve. Here's what Frank had to say on why Blake Wheeler was number one on his Hart Trophy ballot.
That's right, Dennis. I have Blake Wheeler at number one on my Hart Trophy ballot at the PHWA's Midseason Awards. The first time we're conducting these awards since the 1960s. And you look at the qualified field of candidates. Nikita Kucherov and Steven Stamkos are having an unbelievable season in Tampa Bay. Hard to distinguish between those two guys. And how about the year that Nathan MacKinnon is having, getting the Colorado Avalanche back in the race? But for my money, Blake Wheeler has been the most consistent and best player in the NHL through the first half of the season. And the reason for that is twofold. He's doing it from essentially two different positions, whether it was driving play on the right side, which is so incredibly hard to do in today's NHL, or whether it was down the middle once Mark Scheifele went down. I think, to me, he's certainly deserving of Hart Trophy talk as we progress into the second half of the year. I can't believe this is his first trip to the NHL All-Star Game in Tampa Bay this weekend. And while we're at it, Dennis, let's talk about some of the other midseason awards. How about Connor Hellebuck, number two on my ballot for the Vezina Trophy? Writers don't vote for that award at the end of the season, but when's the last time we were talking about any Jets goaltender in the Vezina Trophy race? Hellebuck has been excellent. And how about Kevin Cheveldayoff, GM of the Year candidate? He's in my top five. I love the way that he stuck to his guns last year. He didn't make any rash moves in a disappointing season. He stuck with Paul Maurice behind the bench. And the Jets have been a model franchise in terms of how they have drafted and developed pretty consistently over the years, and that's all paying off this year in the Western Conference playoff race. All of which brings us to the all-important question, the question everyone wants to know. What does Kevin Cheveldayoff do at the trade deadline? Talking to different people around the league, it seemed like at the beginning that the Jets were in the market for an impact center. What I'm going to call it right now, Dennis, is an impact forward. And I think a lot of that circles back to the play that Blake Wheeler has had. Do you keep him at center? Do you move him back to the right wing? Whichever one you put him at, I think that leaves a little bit of a hole there for the Jets to add. So I think Cheveldayoff is certainly in the market, but personally, I'd be targeting a center if I were the Winnipeg Jets. And that's just looking at some of the playoff matchups and the teams that you might potentially face. Look at a team like the Nashville Predators. Down the middle, Ryan Johansson, Kyle Turris, Nick Bonino. You look at a team like the St. Louis Blues, another potential opponent. Paul Stastny, Braden Schenn has been unbelievable this season. Patrick Berglund on their third line. If you could just take everyone once Scheifele gets back, if you could go Scheifele and move Brian Little one more slot down and bring in another second line center, I think that would be perfect. You could have Wheeler on the right side, create a monster line if you're Paul Maurice. You could go Line A, Scheifele, Wheeler. That would be incredible. Make no mistake, the Winnipeg Jets are certainly within their championship window. It's just starting to crack open, which is why I think you'll see Kevin Cheveldayoff continue to make calls to try and land that impact center or winger that could be flexibly used throughout their lineup. We'll see, Dennis. Stay tuned. I'm just not holding my breath. I'm really interested to see what Cheveldayoff will do, because if you look back to his track record over the last four seasons, he's made just four trades since the Winnipeg Jets last made the playoffs 4 years ago.
That's senior hockey writer for TSN, Frank Saravelli, discussing both Blake Wheeler and both the Jets' plans at the upcoming trade deadline.
Didn't the Jets make the playoffs 3 years ago?
Yep.
Yes, it would be 3 years ago when they acquired Lee Stempniak and Jiří Tlusty in the lead-up to the trade deadline. Of course, it didn't work out that well as they lost in four games to the Anaheim Ducks.
But they made the playoffs, which is something they had never done before.
That's true.
In Winnipeg.
And now the hope is that they'll make the playoffs and win a playoff game or even a playoff round. You know, I thought that Frank's comments about Wheeler and his Hart Trophy, deserve some recognition in that, you know, yes, Wheeler's numbers may have fallen off from where he was earlier in the year, where he was, you know, second or third overall in scoring. He's still over a point a game. He's gone from, I mean, did anybody really ever think of Blake Wheeler as a centerman? I mean, he played two games at center last year. He's played there what I would describe as very sporadic throughout his NHL career. And he's played the last 12 games at center for the Winnipeg Jets, and they haven't skipped a beat. And I'm not surprised that the hockey world is maybe overlooking that, because just the nature of being here in Winnipeg, they don't get the attention that they might deserve. But to do, I mean, I think Frank really hits the nail on the head and really gives him the just recognition for what he's done and how impressive it truly is.
Yeah, and we did a segment on this 2 weeks ago, Drew. I mean, we all agree. I mean, Blake Wheeler, whether he's in your top three or top five, I mean, let's be honest, guys. There are a lot of players having great years, right? Nikita Kucherov, Steven Stamkos, Nathan MacKinnon. I mean, there are a lot of guys you know, that should be in the Hart conversation. Johnny Gaudreau is another guy that I would throw in there. He's having a great year. I mean, you could easily name 10 to 15 guys that are in the conversation. But absolutely, Drew, I think if he's not the favorite, he should be in the top three. And Frank agrees with us. And why wouldn't you, when you look at his numbers and what he's done? I mean, since Scheifele goes out of the lineup, he takes over at center, and he doesn't miss a beat. He's just as good, if not better, at center than he was at right wing. And you're right, he's played a little bit of center. I mean, he comes in to take faceoffs once in a while, but he hasn't played any extended periods of time at center. And not only that, it's what he does by leading this team, guys. I don't think we've seen a player for the Jets in the last 7 years put the team on his back like Wheeler does. Sometimes single-handedly, he has won games for this team. I mean, we just saw it last weekend, you know, with the beautiful assist on Patrick Laine's goal against Vancouver, the only goal in that game. I mean, how many guys in the NHL can make that type of pass? Puts it right on Laine's stick. So, I mean, with the exception of, you know, a game here and a game there, Wheeler has been the best Jet all season.
Moving away from the Jets, you know, Bob McKenzie did his midseason coaches poll, and we're not going to delve too deep into the specifics of it, but it seemed overwhelming that, of course, video review is the biggest bugaboo around the NHL right now. Have you ever seen a worse call than the disallowing of the Oilers' overtime winner on Thursday night against the Flames? I mean, to me, whoever made that call, that's a fireable offense. That is so atrociously bad that they disallowed that goal, that at this point in time, you might as well rip up video review and only use it to determine if the puck actually crosses the line or not. That's the only positive use of video review at this point in time, I would suggest.
Well, I don't have a problem with allowing the refs to make the call. I mean, the problem is it's a very subjective thing with this video review, and it shouldn't be, really. It should be pretty cut and dry, and I think the problem is that a lot of times you're watching this stuff and you're thinking to yourself, you know, if you're invested in the team, you tear your hair out because you're watching how impactful sometimes losing, you know, a point here, a point there can have on your season. You don't recognize it right away, but you do later on in the year when you're like, wow, we really could have really used that extra point. So, there's always frustration. I mean, it's like any sort of advancement in the game, there's going to be hiccups to it. So, I mean, you want to get the calls right, but the problem is that when you have something that's intended to get the calls right and yet you're still making incorrect calls, then there needs to be an adjustment. So I don't think you have to throw out the baby with the bathwater. I just think you just need to properly fix the problem.
Yeah, properly fixing the problem is really what the problem has been, though, is that they don't seem to know how to fix the problem. And that's, I'm sure, going to be discussed in extensive detail at the All-Star game this weekend in Tampa Bay. And, of course, with the upcoming general managers meeting and the Board of Governors meeting, what happens shortly after the All-Star game. You know, in Gary Bettman's defense, he warned the general managers and he warned the teams that this is likely what's going to happen when you take something that's so subjective and so, you know, such a bang bang call, and you take it out of the heat of the moment and you try and slow it down and replay every inch of it and every angle of it. It's something that has turned into be an absolute bugaboo for the NHL, absolute chaos, and it sort of reached its pinnacle on Thursday night in Edmonton against between the Flames and the Oilers. One final note from Bob McKenzie's coaches poll: the Winnipeg Jets, they received 6 votes as the Western Conference champion, and one NHL team or one NHL general manager thinks that they're going to be the Stanley Cup champion when it's all said and done in late June. When we come back, open phones. We've been promising it all morning. 780-1290. You can call us right now. It's the Boston Pizza fan line. 780-1290. Open phones for the next hour. Roslovic Hellebuck, the Jets trade deadline, whatever's on your mind regarding the Winnipeg Jets, call us now. James is standing by, ready to take your calls. 780-1290. Open phones when we come back. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Third and final hour of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now. Phone lines are open. 204-780-1290. Give us a call on the Boston Pizza fan line. Rare as it may be, we will take calls on this Saturday morning edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Whatever is on your mind regarding the Winnipeg Jets.
Even if you just want to order a pizza, call us.
You're unlikely to receive that pizza, but you can still call us.
We can make recommendations.
We'll take your pizza order. We know what you're going to recommend there, Dave. So, you are consistent when it comes to your pizza ordering at the very least.
In the winter.
Only in the winter?
Well, in the summer, I have a different place.
Oh, really?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay. I never really realized you were that.
Come on, Salties.
Oh, that's true. Oh, that's in Winnipeg Beach, though. It's a long way to go for
pizza.
I make the drive. You're a dedicated fan. Anyways, Boston Pizza Fan Line is open, 204-780-1290. Let's head to Neil in Tuxedo. Neil, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hey, boys. How's it going?
Good, Neil. How are you doing on this Saturday morning?
Not too bad.
That's good. What's on your mind?
Just wanted to call in and ask, you guys were talking about Cervelli and Wheeler at center and his good play, and just wanted to know, what do you think if, when Scheifele's back, are they still going to try and keep Wheeler at center and bump everyone down and probably get Hendricks out of the lineup, and what your take is on that?
An interesting question, Neil. Thank you for that. The question was, Blake Wheeler, should he stay at center after Scheifele comes back? And there's been a lot of chatter about that, given Wheeler's impressive play in the 12 games. I'd be surprised if that's something the Jets would go with, unless, with the caveat being, unless they think that they can acquire a winger, obviously not at Blake Wheeler's ilk, but maybe somebody who can fill that role alongside Blake Wheeler, and then all of a sudden you go Wheeler, Scheifele, Lowry up the middle, or Wheeler, Scheifele, Little, Lowry up the middle. That's an impressive big four up the middle there, Ez.
Right, and then, you know, where does that leave Matt Hendricks? And it's an interesting question from Neil, because, you know, you want to rush and say, well, you know, Blake Wheeler's going to go back to his usual spot on the right wing when Mark Scheifele comes back. I mean, that's your number one center. But as you mentioned, Drew, I mean, if you have Blake Wheeler, Mark Scheifele, Brian Little up the middle, 1-2-3, and then Adam Lowry or Matt Hendricks as your fourth line center. Obviously, you know, you would think that it would be Adam Lowry over Matt Hendricks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is just as good as, you know, the top teams in the league. Anaheim, mm-hmm. you know, with Ryan Getzlaff, Ryan Kessler,
Henrique,
and Antoine Vermette. Yeah. Sorry. I mean, that's a good 1-4 punch as well. So I still think that when Mark Scheifele comes back, I mean, they're going to reunite Mark Scheifele and Blake Wheeler, because over the last couple of years, Dave, Scheifele and Wheeler have been so good together. And whether it's Lyonnais on the left wing or Kyle Connor on the left wing, or maybe you'll even see Matty Perreault on the left wing, I think Scheifele and Wheeler are going to go back together once Scheifele comes back from his injury.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I think that Blake Wheeler's done a nice, admirable job filling in for Mark Scheifele, but you don't replace Mark Scheifele as your top center.
No, I would agree with you. I'd be surprised if the Jets were to make that decision and keep Wheeler at center. It would I think it would only be contingent on them really getting a real quality top six forward that might be able to fill in the gap on your wing if you really want to go that impressive up the middle. Neil, appreciate the call, though. Good start to the phone calls on this Saturday morning edition. Again, Boston Pizza fan line is open, 204-780-1290. If you're in the city, you know, give us a call and we will hear what you have to say. Maybe you'd want to talk about Jack Roslovic. You know, does he deserve to stay in the lineup? The flipping of Roslovic and Connor. You know, what about Connor Hellebuck and his next contract? And then another one, you know, the Jets. You know, we see the Oilers this year as a bit of a cautionary tale, a team that was so close last year and then completely falls off the map. Do the Jets need to go for it this year? You know, as the, you know, they appear to be a bit of a fringe Stanley Cup contender. Most people have the Predators ahead of the Jets, but maybe the Jets go for it and then they can become the bona fide contender over top of the Nashville Predators. Let's head to Ron in North Kildonan. And Ron, good morning and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hey, good morning, guys. This is my first time calling on Illegal. I don't know how often you guys have done it, but I'm really glad to talk to you guys.
We appreciate you joining us, Ron. It doesn't happen very often. That's why it's a bit of a rarity on this Saturday morning. We figured it's the All-Star break, and we can open up the phone lines, and we appreciate you joining us. What's on your mind with regard to the Winnipeg Jets?
Okay, so the trade possibilities that I would be looking at, and like I'm not sure what we would have to give up for these guys, but you guys have been talking about Patan and what he's doing with the Moose right now. I think he would be somebody that like he could, like he's got some value. I don't know how much value. I'm just saying that he's a piece to a trade, but. The two guys I was looking at, and I looked at their contracts. I went with Derek Brassard in Ottawa, but he's got this year and another year, and that's at $5 million a year. So I'm not sure if Chevy would take that on. But the other guy I was talking about was Patrick Maroon. He's a UFA, I think, at the end of this year. And the way we got handled, I think we got handled a little bit with Anaheim. They were very physical. I think we could use somebody like a Patrick Maroon to help with that department. And you know, he's got some decent hands. He could put some pucks in the net. So I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. I thought I'll let you guys comment. Hellebuck should get 4.5 for the next 5 years. I'd be comfortable with that. All right, guys, take care. Have a good Saturday.
Ron, appreciate the call. Thanks very much for joining us this morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Ron mentions two names in his phone call, Derek Brassard of the Ottawa Senators, the team that certainly has plummeted this season, one of the worst teams in the NHL based on the standings. He's got 1 year left on his contract after this year at $5 million. And then Patrick Maroon of the Edmonton Oilers, another team that has plummeted this season. He is an unrestricted free agent at season's end. Ezzy, your thoughts on Ron's comments about Brassard and Maroon maybe fitting in with the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, you know, and a good call from Ron. Thanks for calling in. I think Patrick Maroon is a more interesting one to me. I don't know if Derek Brassard, to be honest with you, is much of an upgrade over what the Jets have. I'd rather have Brian Little as my second-line center over Derek Brassard, and I don't think you're bringing him in as a third-line center. So I want to talk about Patrick Maroon, though, because it's funny. Patrick Maroon was a member of the Ducks when they played the Jets back in 2015, and, you know, he was up on the top line with Connor McDavid. And, you know, Patrick Maroon is a guy maybe that on a better team, he's not a top six forward, but the reality is he can play on one of your top two lines and give you that power forward element. So, you know, Patrick Maroon might be a guy, you know, that the Jets would look at, or at the very least that type of player, a guy who isn't very expensive, is on the last year of his contract.
A pure rental,
Drew, and it goes back to what we were talking about earlier in the show. And I realize, you know, guys like Pierre LeBrun and Frank Saravalli, you know, have said that, you know, the Jets might be after a top six forward. And don't get me wrong, those guys know a lot more than I do. But I just don't know, again, I've repeated this, and Jeff O'Neill mentioned this as well. I just don't know if the Jets need a top six forward right now, especially with Mark Scheifele coming back into the lineup in 2 or 3 weeks. And you know, that's a compliment to Chevy and the Jets. The Jets have arguably the best top six, top nine in the entire league, especially when you've got a guy like Jack Ross in there, Dave. So I don't necessarily know that the Jets, again, this is my opinion, you know, so Patrick Maroon for me fits that bill. I think it's, you know, Ron, you know, makes a good point because, you know, he's a guy that you can put really on any one of your four lines. He, you know, is a guy that can crash and bang, and, you know, he's still got 13 goals this year. So say whatever you want about Patrick Maroon. He's obviously playing with Connor McDavid. Often, you know, Connor McDavid puts that puck right on his stick, but you still have to bury it. And, you know, Patrick Maroon had 27 goals last year. So, you know, maybe the Jets do look at a guy like him.
He has been a playoff performer as well. Last year with the Oilers, 8 points in 13 games played. Going back to his days in Anaheim, he had 11 points in 16 games in the playoffs and 7 points in 13 games. So he does sort of fit that bill about needing a guy with some veteran experience. I don't know if his speed issue might be something that...
He's not a fast player.
Right.
Never has been.
I wonder if that maybe prevents...
Great hands, though.
Yeah, you know, it might prevent him a little bit of being a target for the Winnipeg Jets, but a great call nonetheless. Let's go out to Kingston Row, where Hart is joining us on the show. Hart, good morning and thanks very much. What's on your mind? Appreciate you joining us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hey boys, thanks for taking my call. Love that you guys are doing calls once in a while. It's always fun.
We appreciate you joining us.
Right on. I actually wanted to switch it up. I wanted to talk a little bit about the Pittsburgh Penguins.
The Penguins, not a team we frequently discuss on the phone lines, but sure, why the hell not?
I figure they're kind of a hot button topic because they're, you know, the two-time defending champions, and they're right now they're sitting pretty, but not too pretty because there's a lot of competition. And so I guess two questions. One, do you think that is there any chance they don't make the playoffs? And second question, if they do, are they considered a dark horse? And then, sorry, there was a third part to the question. I did revisit, and I looked over the internet. I scoured for looking for all types of sand kids commercials.
Yeah.
And I got in touch with someone. They told me that they've not only deleted everything off the internet, but they've also burnt every copy of the data. So, good luck.
Appreciate the call, Hart.
Even the callers are beaking you.
Yeah, this might be your last time on the program, but appreciate the call nonetheless. Regarding the Penguins, guys, Hart wants to know, are they a dark horse, you know, playoff team? They're currently third in the Metropolitan Division, the ultra-competitive Metropolitan Division. They have played more games than everyone in the division. So, you know, do you think that the Penguins are going to end up being there come the end of the regular season?
Yeah, and, you know, the Penguins have quietly gone on a 7-3 run in their last 10 games. They've won their last two. They had a big win last game over the Minnesota Wild, 6-3. And, you know, right now they're tied with Columbus, Drew, and, you know, only 6 points back of Washington for first in the Metropolitan Division. That Metropolitan Division is much more wide open than the Atlantic. I don't think that there's any way that the Penguins miss the playoffs. And we talked about this several weeks back. We had Sam Werner of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette on. I mean, the Penguins just haven't had a very good first half to the season, and now they're starting to come along. And, I mean, when you've got Crosby and Malkin and Kessel and Letang and Matt Murray and I mean, the list goes on and on, and they've had injury problems, sure. They've made some moves, and they've brought in Jamie Oleksiak, and they've brought in Riley Sheahan. And I wouldn't be surprised if Jim Rutherford makes another move here in the next couple of weeks, but I still wouldn't count them out, not only as a playoff team, but as a Stanley Cup contender. And how could you when they've won the last two Cups? So I think the Penguins, you know, right now are maybe not the sexy pick as far as, you know, an Eastern Conference favorite. But until someone else wins the cup, I mean, they're still the reigning champs.
Absolutely. Until you knock off, until you defeat the king, long live the king, as the saying goes. Appreciate the call, Hart, on Kingston Row. You head back to the phone lines. The Boston Pizza fan line is open, 204-780-1290. Callers are flowing in. We're going to head one more before we head to the break. Rowdy is in Netherlands.
There he is.
We're
Rowdy,
huge
the Dutch Jets fan.
Rowdy, the Dutch Jets fan. He's previously even joined us here in studio. He's joining us from the Netherlands this Saturday morning, where, of course, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show is huge. Rowdy, what's on your mind? Thanks for joining us. Good to hear from you again, old friend.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call. And I warned you guys this week. I was coming back on the phone lines if you guys open it up.
And we appreciate you joining us. You did warn us, and you are a man of your word.
Yeah. So thanks again for having me. And I just want to say again, I'll say it again every time I'm on the phone here. You guys are the best. I love Illegal Curve, even though I might not always be listening live. I'll always catch up with the podcast. I love Illegal Curve.
We love you too, Rowdy.
Good work.
Rowdy, we have some breaking news coming from the NHL Board of Governors meeting. You're in the Netherlands, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Next season, the Winnipeg Jets and the Florida Panthers will be playing a regular season game in November in Finland. So it's not the Carolina Hurricanes. It's the Florida Panthers. Of course, Sasha Barkov is a prominent member of the Florida Panthers. Will you be going to Finland next November to watch the Jets and the Florida Panthers play in presumably Helsinki? I don't know exactly where. Next November, the Jets and the Panthers, regular season games in Finland.
Well, I would be lying if I hadn't already if I said that I hadn't already looked at plane tickets for Helsinki. So I'm definitely going to look into this. This is a once in a lifetime opportunity, basically. The Panthers, that one caught me by surprise.
Yeah, everyone expected that it was going to be the Carolina Hurricanes with Sebastian Aho, but they clearly went with the Florida Panthers instead. And the Edmonton Oilers and the New Jersey Devils are going to play a regular season game in Sweden at the start of the season next year. The Oilers will play exhibition games in Germany, where for Leon Draisaitl, of course, and the Devils will play one in Switzerland with Nico Hischier. So this is breaking news coming from the NHL's Board of Governors meeting. Going to be a European presence next year for the NHL at the start of the season for the Oilers and the Devils, and then in November for the Jets and the Panthers.
And Drew, we want to let Rowdy, you know, get into his question here, but Harry Sateri, backup goaltender for the Panthers, he's played four games, I believe, this year. He's also from Finland.
There you go, Rowdy. You wanted to talk about Connor Hellebuck's season. What's on your mind about Hellebuck? How have you been enjoying watching him from the Netherlands?
Well, he's been just fantastic. He's been so much more than I could have wished for. I mean, I was a fan of his already when they drafted him because of his last name, because it has that kind of Dutch sound to it. But he's been amazing on every level, and I think he was solid last season. I think he didn't get the defense in front of him last year, and now he's showing what he can do. He has fixed the issues with his glove. He's been fantastic. I can't complain. And you know what? At first, I was a bit worried that the big workload for him would be too much, but he's been handling it fantastically. You know, I wouldn't mind to go to double down and give him the long-term extension. He's been fantastic.
So, Rowdy, how many years would you give Hellebuck if you're Chevy?
Well, I would always either sign a guy either 1, 2, or 3 years, or go the long way and sign him for at least 6. So then I would be looking at something like 6 and between 5.5 and 6 million something. Maybe that's a bit too high, but you know, I don't know what he's going to ask for. I mean, he's got a lot of leverage with the All-Star ticket he has in his pocket, so I'm not sure what kind of money you would put would give him, but I think you're looking at 6 years, basically.
Rowdy, we appreciate your insight, and we always appreciate you calling and listening in the Netherlands. We'll talk to you real soon, and I hope everything's well with you and the family.
Drew, can I say one more thing before I go?
Please.
I'm actually coming back to Winnipeg this summer, so I'm going to try that Legal Curve sandwich. It's on my bucket list, and I went to war for it on H&L, so I'm going to try it this summer.
Wonderful.
Rowdy, when you get here, Rowdy, get in touch with us, and that Legal Curve sandwich is on me, buddy.
Yeah, we might even join you for some sandwiches, Rowdy. You let us know when you're coming to town, and then we'll get together.
That's fantastic. Thank you guys so much. Have a great day.
You too, Rowdy. That's Rowdy in the Netherlands, always a good friend of the program.
The IC Dutch fan.
The IC Dutch fan, the Jets Dutch fan. You know, there's Rowdy calling us from the Netherlands.
Has Rowdy ever had old Dutch chips, Drew?
I don't know. You might have to give him some old Dutch chips when he comes to town.
Yeah, well, he'll have that with the IC sandwich.
It makes perfect sense to me. Billy, Dylan, Daniel, stay on the line. We're going to get back to you real quick after the break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Phone lines are open. The Boston Pizza fan line is available, 780-1290. Billy, Dylan, and Daniel, you're up next. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
The Boston Pizza fan line is open on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, 780-1290. You can give us a call here in studio. You can also tweet at us. At Illegal Curve. We'll read some tweets if we get any good ones. You can also text us. 1290-90. Standard messaging rates do apply if you want to reach us in studio via text message. We head back to the phone line. Billy is in St. James. Billy, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for opening the lines.
It's our pleasure.
Nice to hear you.
Thanks for joining us, Billy.
Hey, so Hellebuck, I think he's a first-tier all-star, not a substitute all-star. Because remember when Hutchison was on his big run during his rookie season, I think he was rumored to be a sub when a goalie went down.
Something similar to that, yeah, I recall that.
So I think Hellebuck is 5x5. And if he starts becoming a true Vezina finalist, I guess they pick 3, he's going to be more than that, which begs the question, do we move Mason at this trade deadline in order to make the room, or do we keep him around like Pittsburgh had with Murray and Fleury last year? So it would be interesting there. And here's a question. I don't think that there's room on the roster for this year for both Connor and Roslovic, especially going into the playoff push. I don't think that Maurice is going to bench Hendrick for the playoffs. I think he wants him on the fourth line as that veteran stabilization. I don't think he's comfortable having two very talented but inexperienced rookies into the playoff push and playoff run. So thanks, guys.
Billy, appreciate the call on this Saturday morning. Regarding Steve Mason, I'm not sure there's much of a demand on the trade market for a goalie who has been oft injured this year and has over $4 million left on a contract. So I'd be surprised if there was a market for Steve Mason, nor do I think the Jets are interested in trading him, given just how thin they would be goaltender-wise. I mean, are you comfortable going with a Hellebuck-Hutchinson tandem into the playoffs or into next season? I would be surprised if Steve Mason's anywhere other than Winnipeg. Ezzy, your thoughts on Billy's comments regarding there's not enough space, that Paul Maurice might not be comfortable with both Connor and Roslovic in the lineup as you head into the stretch drive?
Yeah, well, let's tackle the goaltending first. I agree with you, Drew. I don't think the Jets are going to be moving Steve Mason, and that's because of the uncertainty right now with his injury situation. And also, I think that the Manitoba Moose like to have Eric Comrie and Michael Hutchinson as a 1-2 punch. It's arguably the best 1-2 punch in the entire A. So I don't think Mason's going anywhere right now. As far as Connor and Roslovic goes, I mean, it's a good point that Billy makes, because when Mark Scheifele comes back to the lineup, mm-hmm. it bumps everyone down, in addition to when Adam Lowry comes back into the lineup. So when Scheifele comes back into the lineup, does that mean that a guy like Roslovic gets bumped off of the top line and goes down to the third or fourth line? Well, we know that Paul Maurice likes to use that third line as a checking line, right? Adam Lowry, Brandon Tanev, Andrew Kopp. So do you want Jack Roslovic on your fourth line, or do you want Jack Roslovic helping the Manitoba Moose compete for a Calder Cup championship? So I think there's a lot of decisions that Paul Maurice and Kevin Cheveldayoff have to make. I mean, there is a chance that Roslovic goes back to the Manitoba Moose. There's a chance that Roslovic stays up with the Winnipeg Jets. I think he's played really well. So, I don't have a definitive answer for Billy, but there's some definite, answers that Paul Maurice has to come up with here going forward in the next 3 weeks, because the Jets are getting healthier. Scheifele's coming back. Lowry's going to come back, obviously, before Scheifele. And then you have to decide, if you're Kevin Cheveldayoff, are you going to bring anyone else in? And me personally, I think if the Jets do make some moves, they're going to be minor moves, more depth pieces. But, hey, you never know. The Jets could bring in a top six forward or a top four defenseman. In my opinion, I just don't know if they need to do that, because I think the way the Jets are currently constructed, they can win a playoff round or two.
Well, we will find out, as the trade deadline is 1 month less a day away from today. We head back to the phone line, 780-1290. Dylan is in Amber Trails. Dylan, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Oh, hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
I wanted to talk about, talk about a couple things about potential trade deadline candidates for the Jets. And, I know there's been a lot of talk about, sort of the minor moves, but one of the TSN insiders had floated the name of Derek Brassard from the Senators. And I actually, when you really think about that, I really like that move. I would really like that move as a fan, because for a few reasons. One is that, he's got a really, it was a front-end loaded contract. So he's, the actual cash value that we'd be paying out to him this year and next year is actually quite low. The other thing is that, he's he wouldn't just be a rental. He'd be a kind of a season and a half of a rental, so we'd have him for next season as well. And he's a guy who's got playoff experience. He's had the deep runs with the Rangers as well as with the Senators. And as well, it would give Roslovic sort of a good, or Roslovic or, slash Connor, sort of a really skilled, solid third-line center to play with, as opposed to having the more rugged center that they'd be playing with, for example, like with the Hendricks. And I think the other thing, too, is that it really would bring about, get us to the model where we're having three skilled lines or three scoring lines and one grinding line, as opposed to sort of the two grinding lines that we have now. So, I realize, too, we'd have to probably give up maybe most likely it'd be involving a first-round pick for him. But I think with where this team is now in terms of the standings and the projection of this team going forward, I'd be okay with giving up, a first-round pick for this year's draft, which would most likely be, probably 24 to 25, 26 type pick. I actually like that move, and I'm just wanting to know your guys' take on that move, and if that's something that you guys would be in favor of.
Dylan, appreciate appreciate the call. Thank you for joining us this Saturday morning. Derek Brassard's an interesting name. You know, he's certainly 30 years old, so he's not what you would describe as ancient by any stretch. He's got a lot of years of experience, you know, a lot of playoff runs last year with the Senators and, you know, the 4 years previous to that with the New York Rangers. So this is a guy who, I mean, makes a fair bit of sense if the Jets think that they need to shore things up the middle and want to add another scorer, a veteran leader with playoff experience to the roster.
I think Brassard's a good player. I just don't necessarily know if it fits in with what the Jets want to do. You can never have enough complementary players, guys that can score on the third line, but we know that Paul Maurice has liked that third line. And Adam Lowry's having a good year. He was on pace for, 15, 17 goals when he went down with an injury.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that line has been a big part of what they've been doing, Drew. We've talked about this a lot. I mean, their possession numbers are really good. Murat has written about that for The Athletic when you're talking about Lowry, Tanev, and Kopp.
Yeah.
Now, I know there are a lot of people out there that are going to say, well, you just don't get enough offense from that third line. But the reality is the Jets get enough offense from their top six. I mean, you're talking about, in my opinion, the best top six in the league right now. The Jets are second in the entire league in offense. Do the Jets need goals? Is that what they need? I don't think they need more goals.
I
don't have any problem with the Jets going into the playoffs against any team, whether it's Nashville, whether it's against Chicago. I don't think lack of goals is going to be a problem.
I disagree with you. We're both...
They're second in the league in goals.
Right, I know. I just think they need one more scorer to join the roster to really be... I know the numbers.
And you have that in Roslovic?
You know, I don't know. This is a rookie guy who's playing, who's played, 10 games in the NHL. How much do you trust him when it comes to a playoff series in the first or the second round come April or May? I think getting another...
So you're going to pay a guy next year $5 million to be your third line center?
It's 1 year. There's no such thing as a bad 1 year contract, as we've said on this show. I mean, it's a little more than you'd like to pay, obviously, but
he's got 2 years left.
No, he's got 1 year left after this year.
Yeah, including this year.
Yeah, I know. So this year, whatever. This year, you don't have to worry about the salary.
Well, it wouldn't be a rental.
I know it's not a rental. I prefer a guy who's not a rental. I've mentioned Mike Hoffman's name, also from the Ottawa Senators, as a guy who I would be interested in seeing the Jets acquire. You know, there's no right or wrong answer. The numbers you cite,
Mike Hoffman wouldn't go in the top six right now.
I don't really care if he goes in the top six. I think he needs to go in the top nine.
But why are you giving that up and paying him that to go on your third line when your third line has been good this year?
Because I think your third line...
You've been successful with that third line.
Because I think that when it comes to the playoffs, you can never have enough 30 goal scorers. And I think the window, the Oilers, everyone said, well, okay, next year it'll be the year for them. And then look at what happened next year. So when your window is open, you don't know how long it's going to be open for. So you might as well.
The Jets window just opened.
I know it just opened, but you said the Oilers window just opened last year as well. And they're at the bottom of the NHL standings this year. I see no reason why the Jets can't be... if the Jets can get through Nashville, if that's who they end up being, there's no reason why they can't represent the West in the Stanley Cup Finals.
To me, it's more so Nashville's defense is better than the Jets.
Fair enough. And if you want to improve on the back end, I certainly have time for that argument as well. It's just, I don't know that the status quo will be enough for the Jets come playoff time. Daniel, North End Rick, Bill, Brian, stay on the line. We're going to get to you guys right after this break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. More calls coming in via the Boston Pizza fan line. That's 780-1290. We're up next with more calls. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
The phone lines are jammed. We appreciate all the interaction on this Saturday edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. When you hear somebody hang up, that's your cue to call 780-1290. That's the Boston Pizza fan line. Daniel in San Diego has been waiting very patiently. Daniel, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Oh, hello, gentlemen. How are you today?
Doing well, Daniel. How about yourself? Thanks for joining us from sunny California.
I'm doing well.
What's on your mind?
So, I just wanted to talk about... I guess the main reason I feel the Jets are finally kind of putting it together this year, and why, everyone's like, oh, they're great this year, but, what's the main reason? There's lots of reasons. Sure, we have all the young talent, all that kind of stuff. We have great coaching. But that all plays a part for the reason, but I feel the main reason is the fact that because we're so young, and these guys have become such good friends. And we're one of the closest teams in the league, that's without a doubt. And it, they're playing well together, they're playing for each other, and they're winning. They're one of the best teams in the league, so.
The chemistry.
The reason for them, the fact that they can be friends and that close off the ice is literally, you know, one of the main factors for what they're doing on the ice.
Yeah, it's a very interesting, you know, point that you make, Daniel, because when you talk about Patrick Laine and Nikolaj Ehlers, we know the bond that they've formed since Laine has come into the NHL. Obviously, Ehlers is a year ahead of Patrick Laine, and then when you look at Blake Wheeler and Mark Scheifele and the bond they have, Jack Roslovic and Kyle Connor, they've both come up through the American Hockey League now to play for the Jets. I mean, this is definitely a tight-knit group, and you've seen it time and time again. Guys like Brandon Tanev, Andrew Kopp, I mean, guys kind of a similar age and similar stage in their career. So I think there's no doubt that this is a group that wants to fight for each other and they want to win and you know, get this going and go far in the playoffs.
Yeah, I fully agree. You know, we have a great captain. And, you know, some people can make the argument that he's not the most vocal, but he's definitely, and even if you can agree with that, you know, he's not the most vocal, he's definitely one of those lead by example type of people. And in my opinion, he's the most hardworking captain, one of the most hardworking players in the league. You know, just physically on the ice when he's on his game. You know, he's not there every single night, but when he's, for the most part, you know, he's such a hardworking guy. You know, it starts from the top, you know, it trickles down, and you know, the rest of the players see what he's doing. And I think there's just a lot of good things going on with the Jets right now. Also, not the caller right before me, but maybe two callers before me. Made a couple points. You know, I think Roslovic actually is not the right move to keep on the roster right now, leading into the later part of the season into the playoffs. You know, this is his first time up getting his chance, you know, like Connor did and Scheifele did early, you know, early for Scheifele. He came up a couple times, went back down. And if we're talking about between Connor and Roslovic, in my opinion, it's a no-brainer. Connor's worked for it. He's played much better. Connor stays.
Daniel, appreciate
it. You know, even if Connor has to go to the fourth line, you know, if we're going to say like Roslovic would have been on the fourth line or whatever, then fine, you put Connor there. But I just don't think. I think, you know, earning it has something to do with it. Connor's definitely earned it over Roslovic. So Daniel,
let me ask you this question: would you make a move if you're Kevin Cheveldayoff? Drew and I talked about it before we had you on. Do the Jets need to make a move and bring in a top nine forward?
Zero moves.
Zero moves.
I think we make zero moves. We have probably one of the deepest teams in the entire league, which is so crazy to say, because you guys know, well, a couple of years ago, saying the Jets were one of the deepest teams in the league would be the craziest thing anybody could say. But they are literally one of the deepest teams in the league. We have one of the best top six, like you said, in the league, if not the best. And the rest of our guys are all productive. Even a guy, like, I want to bring up names like Sean Matthias. People forget about him. I love Sean Matthias. When he gets a chance to be in the lineup, you see how hard he works. And, you know, guys like him and Tanev and Kopp, such a good team. I'm really, really happy with the guys this year. But, yeah, I would say no moves. I think we have everybody we need within the organization. If we need to bring someone up from the loose, we do so. I think making a move is it disturbs the nucleus. It just, there's no reason for it at all. I wouldn't be able to agree with a single reason to make a move. Unless we're talking, like, business-wise, like money or cap room or whatever. But, like, no reason.
Daniel, appreciate the call this morning. Thanks for joining us from San Diego. Thanks for listening to the program in San Diego. We head to the North End. There's only one caller who matters from the North End.
Well, I'm not the caller, but I'm from the North End.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But you no longer live in the North End. There's only one guy who still lives in the North End, and that's North End Rick. North End Rick, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Well, Drew, how are you?
I'm excellent. Rick, how are you?
I'm well, Dave. Nice to talk to you and Ezra. I'm a little bit of pain right now. I'm sitting at Bernstein Deli, and I was having, because of the sandwich I chose, I broke a crown on one of my teeth, and the pain caused me to dribble some mustard down onto my Keener jersey, and so now I'm going to have to head down to Linden Market Dental Center to get the crown fixed, so... is that enough advertisement for you?
Well, you missed rumors.
Yeah, I think you need to, you know, spend the night because you've had some misfortune in the morning. You need to laugh at night at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club.
That's correct. Yes, that's absolutely correct. I will do that. I'll definitely pick that up.
And of course, you know, if you're in the market to sell a house, you know, Zappia Group Realty will help you out.
I live in a box under the Arlington Bridge right now. But if I am going to sell that box, I guarantee you that I will contact Frank and get the best deal for that box.
There
that
you
I
can go.
Possibly get.
Well, Rick, I don't know if you could, whatever your question might be, I don't know if it can beat that introduction, but what's on your mind with regard to the Winnipeg Jets?
I wanted to talk, I got to tell you, boys, I think that there will be a deal made, I believe, by Chevy, and I think, unfortunately, that due to the circumstances with Nick Petan and his contract situation, I think that he'll get packaged up with something to get either a depth forward or, you know, I'd like to see a top nine forward, but even somebody who can be that tweener, you know, between a fourth and a third line, somebody hopefully with a big maroon. But I think that because of his situation, I think that his window of opportunity may have passed him by. Now you've seen the younger guys like Roslovic and Connor, and who knows, Mason Appleton may even get a sniff before he does again. And if he's going to be gone, I believe he's UFA, is he going to want to stay in an organization that he's probably not going to get another opportunity or a real good opportunity anytime soon, and he may want to bolt?
It's a reasonable comment, Rick, and we appreciate you joining us this morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, and that's why I think you're hearing his name out there, in that a lot of teams might look at his WHL history and point to his offensive abilities at junior, and they look at his AHL performance, and they look at his points at the AHL level and say, hey, maybe this is a guy who just needs an opportunity, and we can give him that opportunity.
You know, another thing to mention here, guys, is there's a good chance you're going to see either Matthew Perreault or Kyle Connor on the third line once the Jets are healthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, when you look at the Jets' top nine, once Scheifele and Lowry are back in the lineup, you know, I mentioned I think the Jets have the best top six. They might have the best top nine when you consider that, you know, your third line could be something like Matthew Perreault with Adam Lowry, and then maybe Andrew Kopp is on the right side, something like that. Or you have the ability. Joel Armia, I think, has done an excellent job mm-hmm. on the third line as well. So when you talk about, you know, the Jets need to make an upgrade on the third line, Matty Perreault and Joel Armia have played pretty well. If that's your third line with Lowry in the middle, I mean, do you really have to bring in a Derek Brassard or a Mike Hoffman?
Worth noting also that Nick Petan is an RFA this
year. An RFA at season's end. You're absolutely right. So the Jets maintain his rights, but I'm sure that Nick Petan is probably frustrated with his role right now, seeing players pass him on the depth chart, where he probably feels as though he needs just a chance to break through at the NHL level.
At the same time, you know, the reality is we see with so many different stories. Yanni Gourde is the perfect example. There's a guy who toiled away in the AHL, the ECHL for mm-hmm. six seasons
undrafted before
he got his chance. Now it's harder with guys who have the pedigree, who have the high draft pedigree, to, you know, kind of take that sitting kind of what I'm germinating in the minors before you have, well, it's, you know, we're turning to spring, you know, it's thinking about the growing season. But the fact of the matter is that I think that you have a player who has to develop, who's developing. And the fact is, you want to dominate at the AHL level and then get into the NHL. So you're right, Drew, it is a factor to when you see players passing you by, like Connor, like Roslovic. But at the same time, he's not so long in tooth. He's getting close, mm-hmm. don't get me wrong, but I think it's still a little bit of window.
Back to the Boston Pizza fan line, 204-780-1290. Let's speak to Bill in Fort Richmond. Bill, good morning, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Morning, guys. First-time caller. I've listened to your show lots, but as you say, you don't open the lines. Actually, I'm a Moose season ticket holder, and I love watching the kids on the Moose, and selfishly, I'd like Roslovic back, because I think the Moose can win the Calder this year.
I think you and Pascal Vincent, Bill.
And Bill, yeah. Bill, I would as well, because I go to all the Moose games, and you know it's always a different factor when you have Jack Roslovic in the lineup.
Yeah, and they've had seven injuries, and they're slowly coming back. So they've won two in a row now in Laval and Belleville, and one more tonight. So.
And it looks like they made a number of moves this morning. They returned some four players to the ECHL.
Yeah, Lodge, we won't miss. I'm sorry, but he played better last year. And I don't think he's going to be a permanent fixture on the Moose. I have one interesting thing. I noticed they called up Phillips to the Jets.
Yeah.
Is that just for practice purposes?
Yeah. Yeah. Just for practice on Monday. So,
okay.
Yeah, Connor Hellebuck will be traveling back from the All-Star weekend in Tampa Bay, and the Jets at all times need two goaltenders on their NHL roster. So they sent Michael Hutchinson back down to the Moose. He's going to get the start tonight in Laval, and then he's off to the AHL All-Star weekend Sunday and Monday. So it was a bit of a paper transaction. They need Phillips in net for practice on Monday for the Jets.
What? I like Phillips. Compared to Carmi, he's a little bigger and a little more aggressive.
You know what? You know, it's interesting. Phillips is a goalie who they like. I don't know that they like him over Eric Comrie. And Eric Comrie, well, I'm not sure. I mean, you know that they beat Belleville and they beat Laval. It sounds like Comrie's really rounded into form. Made 39 saves yesterday in the win. Some of them of a highlight nature. And I think he had a bit of a stumbling block when he came back off of the injury and following his one NHL game this season. But it sounds like it's the Eric Comrie of old back in the net for the Manitoba Moose.
Because the last two in Winnipeg, he lost a lot of pucks.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a different Eric Comrie than we're used to seeing. I agree with you. He didn't seem like the Eric Comrie we've seen early on in the season, but he's really kind of rounded back out into form for the Moose, played a lot better. But you know what? I think you hit on it. They're getting healthier as a team, so they're playing better in front of him. You know, they made a number of moves. They got Brendan Lemieux back in lineup, Michael Hutchinson. I'm assuming Francis Beauvillier will be ready to go. Coach told me that he'd be ready probably this weekend, so I suspect he'll be in the lineup. And I think Michael Hutchinson's going to get the start tonight for the Manitoba
Moose.
What do
you think about Buddy Robinson? Call up.
Well, he's an interesting player. I mean, he's big. It's interesting because his offensive game has really exploded with the Moose this season.
Yes.
But he's primarily kind of he's focused on his defensive play. He was telling us as he's kind of progressed as a professional hockey player, and now he's kind of allowing himself to kind of break out and use that size and you know, he's got a little more foot speed than you would anticipate for a guy who's 6'6". So he's a nice player. I don't know that he'll get a call up, but when you've got Roslovic and Lemieux, but he's definitely an option for the team.
Yeah, the other thing, as far as the Jets go, I think they're, you know, getting a point out of Anaheim and that. I wish they had a little more grit. I'd like somebody to just smack Kessler in the head. You know, we don't have that guy. I don't know why Bufflin doesn't just take charge. I know Trouba tried San Jose, but there's nobody there that seems to, like, Lowry will do it once he comes back.
Bill, should we bring Tony Peluso back?
No, I don't. We don't need a fighter, but we need someone that's sort of.
I was just
like
kidding.
Ryan Kessler. It's too bad we couldn't get Kessler out of San Jose. He'd be a perfect player.
Bill, we appreciate your call this morning.
Thanks very much for
joining the program.
Okay, enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. When we come back, Brian, you're on the line. Stay on the line. We're going to get to you right after the break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
On TSN 1290.ca.
Final segment this Saturday morning here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Big thank you to everyone who has called in. We're going to wrap up the phone lines now with a couple callers that are left on the line as we're right up against it time-wise. We head back to California. We went from San Diego. We're going to head north to San Francisco. Brian, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
This is my honeymoon.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Doing very well, Brian. How about yourself?
I'm enjoying my Frappuccino. It's frothed perfectly there.
At least you know what Frappuccino is, unlike the Jets head coach, Paul Maurice.
Well, yeah, I saw him getting on the bus, and he had a cup of coffee in his hand. I yelled at him, hey, coach, how's the Frappuccino? And I think I got the first laugh I've seen out of him. So,
Brian, what's on your mind with regards to the Winnipeg Jets?
Well, I was down in San Jose the other night. I had Carter's jersey with me, by the way.
Yeah. We saw you sporting the jersey, a great deed you were doing, and we saw the sharp Illegal Curve toques you guys were wearing as well.
As you noticed that, huh? It's like my wife makes TSN. They don't even get me. I mean, who am I?
You know? Yeah, where were you, Brian?
What's that?
Where were you?
Yeah, where was I? You know, I was actually watching the warm-ups, you know? No, I was having a good time. I was actually taking the jersey around, showing it to people, getting some pictures for the family, you know? The only thing I was thinking when I was watching the game is they really needed Scheifele and Lowry out there, and they're coming back. They come to California with those two. They go away with 4 points. No overtime. Easy. So everybody's panicking right now watching them. Their two players are coming back. I think Sheveldayoff is just going to sit by his phone waiting for the perfect deal to come in on trade deadline day. And he's going to, when he makes that perfect pickpocket deal, he's going to light the cigar and have a little single malt whiskey. What do you think?
It's a good question, Brian. You know, what do you think about Brian's point there?
Well, I mean, that's the $64,000 question right now, right? Is Chevy going to make a big move, or is it going to be a small move, Brian? Or is maybe Chevy not going to make any moves at all? We've only seen Chevy make significant moves once. And as you remember, that was back in 2015 when you brought in Yuri Talusti and Lee Stempniak. And those were depth guys, right? So, you know, I think you're right. I also like, by the way, when you talk about lighting up a cigar and scotch a little single malt, that's, I think, my plans tonight, Brian. But I think if Chevy does make any moves, it is going to be to shore up the bottom six as opposed to maybe getting in, you know, a second-line center or something like that. But we shall see.
Yeah. Brian, appreciate the call this morning. Thanks for holding on with us. Want to get in our last caller before we have to head break for the rest of the show. Sure, Riles is in Osborne Village. Riles, welcome to the program. Nope. Do we lose Riles there? Riles, are you there?
Did you rile him up?
Rile is riled up, so unfortunately we won't hear from
Riles. So we cut Brian short and we lost Riles.
Well, my apologies.
Now, what are you doing, Drew?
I can only do what I, you know, it says it on the screen that Riles is on the line. What can I say? He's not there anymore. Oh, well.
Bernstein, took too long.
Yeah. Lupatine Week, Ezzy, is coming up. Bernstein's Deli. Going to be participating in...
Did you call it Lupatine or Lipatine?
Le Poutine Week.
Sounds like Lou.
It's your mom that's the French teacher.
Wow. I might need to give you some lessons.
Le Poutine Semaine.
Well, there you go, Ezzy. You had the pleasure of tasting the poutine that's going to be part of Bernstein's Deli. This is what it sounded like.
Let's just start off, Aaron, by talking about how the deli got involved in Le Poutine Week, which is, I believe, the first ever Poutine Week here in Winnipeg.
Yeah, well, it's the same group that organized Burger Week, which we've been involved in the last 4 years, had a great time doing it. So we knew that they'd be marketing it really well, and it's just like a fun thing for the city in the middle of winter in February to get out, try some poutines. I don't know anything official, but I believe there's 80 restaurants participating, so it's pretty big. We're just, you know, happy to be a part of it and try and get some people to try our take on poutine.
Okay, so we have a plate of poutine right here in front of us. I'm going to just start to eat this because it looks delicious and I can't really hold myself back. So I'm going to give you the phone here, Aaron, and start trying the poutine, and you're going to describe this poutine for our listeners.
Okay. Les, you're digging into our brisket and potato lac à fry poutine. So what we've done is... every week we sell hundreds of potato latkes, and we thought we'd sort of make an upscale fry by cutting them and frying them. So it's not just potato, but you got the onion, the egg, the salt, the pepper, everything else. It just crisps up really good. And then we made a gravy with the bones from Burger Week that we'd been saving from the Howe Park Farms organic beef that we'd used, and just made this really rich gravy. There's also some Fort Garry dark beer in there. Topped it off with some of our roasted brisket that we always make. Just really nice, thinly sliced, super tender beef brisket. Marla's recipe since we've opened our doors. And top that with the Bothwell cheese, a little bit of brisket juice, and some green onions. And there you go.
Okay, this is unbelievable. You talked about that thinly sliced brisket. That is, for me, the centerpiece. Sorry, I'm... chewing right now. The centerpiece of the poutine. It's unbelievable, Aaron. Love the gravy, as you talked about. That's a staple, obviously, of the poutine. It's nicely topped off with green onions. Absolutely delicious. I didn't taste the beer at all, but knowing that the beer is in there just gives it a extra little kick. All right. That's it here from Bernstein's Deli. Make sure you come down here starting February 1st. This is unbelievable. We're going to finish this plate. If you've been here for Le Burger Week, you know how good Bernstein's Deli is. Signing off.
You
couldn't have finished chewing. Like, you couldn't have finished chewing.
Well, Drew, you weren't here in studio when Ezzy had to eat the Le Burger Week burger, which was trust me, not only was it a sight for sore eyes, I took video, I documented it, it put it out
like
on social
media. It's like watching a lion maul his prey.
Oh, yeah. Drew, just wait till February 1st. I mean, that poutine, it's the best poutine I've ever had.
We could hear.
You're going to have to go down there and try it.
I will go down there and try it. I have no problems doing that. I just wish you had finished chewing.
Yeah, let's be honest, Drew. You're not afraid to fress.
Well, first of all, hold on. Let's talk about, speaking of chewing, let's big thanks, big props to Ezzy's wife,
yes.
Naomi,
yes.
Who I thought she was being, I didn't think she was literally sending us food, but she literally sent us pizza.
Well, I don't have to remind you guys that I have the best wife in the world, and yeah,
I agree. You do have the best wife.
My wife was listening.
No offense, but Naomi's the best, and she ordered us two pizzas. I believe there's a salad there.
Well, that salad's getting uneaten. Let me tell you that. That's for sure. There's nobody who's eating that salad. But thank you to everybody. It's been a fun show.
Great show
this Saturday morning on the program. Appreciate all the great calls we got. You know, that was tremendous, and big thanks to Ezzy's wife for dropping us off some food. And big thanks to our guest, Brian Engblom, joined us in the first hour, Emily Kaplan, and of course, Pekka Jalonen. In case you missed any of the show, it's available for download on tsn1290.ca, on our website, illegalcurve.com, or subscribe, get it sent to your device each and every week. You can big thanks to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, and Keener Jerseys. Support those fine local businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. Great job by Rory. Great job by James on the calls. For Dave Manuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Until Wednesday at 6 p.m. with NHL this week, if it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.